drive like 3 hours every weekend to practice, and that was how we would engage. And when we were playing there, we were, you know, 16, 17, so we wouldn't even be able to chill with people after our shows. We had to just go into a bar, play the set, and leave, basically.
And then immediately get kicked out.
Exactly. In fact, sometimes we did get kicked out. We played this one show. We were so excited for it. And the bar people forgot to do the paperwork to like alert the liquor boards. We drove 3 hours, set up, and they kicked us out before we got to play.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But obviously it's not just about Alberta. There's a lot of other stuff that you're talking about, like about kind of like growing up there in a way that you've got songs like Lecture, where you know, you're kind of talking about, I would let you do the explaining, but it's sort of like not being able to put an idea across in a perfect way, right? Like, mm-hmm. to people that matter.
Yeah, Lecture is a fun one because I think when I wrote it, I think I understand it a lot more now than when I did write it initially, because initially I wrote it in response to just not being able to emotionally convey myself to people in my life in a way that was fair or satisfactory to them. And now I think that it does say a lot more about the creative side of things. Like, I love to read a lot, and I love to compare myself to the things that I read. And it's agonizing to seek perfection when, as I said earlier, it's absolutely impossible. And in fact, to make something perfect would be extremely boring. I mean, it would be also paramount to basically ascending to, like, being God. You know, like, if I could create something that was absolutely perfect, I wouldn't be a person anymore.
You just have to stop. You just have to quit music and leave.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's the fun of making music, is never quite getting it, but feeling like you're closer every time.
Yeah.
You feel closer every time, but I don't know, the more that I make music, the further away from perfection I feel. I assume it'll continue to be that way. I don't know. I would be shocked.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask if the music helps get there. But you're saying it goes the opposite direction.
I like to think of it as... I'm gonna totally butcher this, but it's kind of like the myth of Osiris, John Milton explains it. I think Areopagitica, where he's like, Osiris, in the way that he uses it, is sort of a metaphor for truth. And it's like the limbs are ripped apart and scattered across the earth, and one can never assemble them all and put them back together, but it is your duty to try, even though you know you never can.
Yeah.
You can never attain truth, but it's your duty to try to do it, and that's what makes music so fun.
Yeah. chase what the songs to maintain.
You talk a lot about authenticity in your music. What does that mean to you guys?
Authenticity to me, I think that right now we live in a really interesting time for art, because it's in a lot of ways so accessible, but also the medium has changed and it relies a lot on forming itself and fitting itself to platforms that ultimately are just trying to capture and maintain attention and are trying to they're dealing in attention spans basically. So short form content, all that jazz, basically makes it so that people need to be totally essentialized as fast as possible and as recognizable as fast as possible, and honestly play a lot on tropes and insecurities. And I think that that is anything but authentic. Like, the idea that one's art must conform to these horrible, horrible platforms that are just pushing what are essentially just products is the opposite of authenticity. And I think that I want our music to be, this is gonna sound lightly pompous, but a beacon of light in that way, where it's okay to be bad or be weird or uncomfortable or mess up. You know, you can dance, and you can dance horribly, and dancing horribly is always going to be much better than not dancing at all, or than, like, stressing so much about dancing that you need to conform every move to what is already accepted, what everybody else is doing. It's just nothingness. So authenticity to me is earnestness, and earnestness is deficiency.
I think you touched on that a little bit on The Gash, another song on your debut album, right? Because you're kind of talking about, like, you know, is anything ever going to be enough? Are people actually going to get, like, the meaning from, I guess, watching you guys play, that kind of thing?
Yeah, It's funny to talk about these lyrics because I did write them like 2 years ago now, which ultimately is not that long ago, but when you're in your 20s, 2 years is a lifetime. Yeah, exactly.
But also, that is the time to like ponder the meaning of life and all that. You're not going to do that at 45.
So, I mean, like, the funny thing about that album and about Gash in specific is that it is extremely self-referential, and there's kind of no authoritative conclusion on any of the songs. You know, they're all sort of questions. Are they good questions? Are they formulated well? Not exactly. I mean, they are in some ways and they aren't. But really what they're trying to do is get at something. And so it's sort of like a youthful mashing in that way, where it is, you know, throwing one's hands up and flailing about and grabbing at everything and just saying, what can I get? I think there's value in that.
Yeah.
I think there's value in that. But as to the Gash, let me think. Was there any lyric in particular you were referencing, or?
I guess the bit about, like, people, you know, wondering if people are just going to be nodding about vacantly, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just kind of resonated with what you said just now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that you will see that. I think that you will see that. I think,
It's a very Toronto crowd thing to just be standing at the back, unfolded, nodding along.
Unfortunately, people are just absolutely ruined by social medias, as am I. And so you will see a lot of that. You will see a lot of people just destroyed by the overwhelming amount of slop content that is just feeding into them at all times. And I think those lines are just observation, but they're also lament. You know, it's unfortunate that that's the case. And I'm not immune to that. I am not immune to that at all. I would be lying if I said that I was, you know, totally off-grid and living a perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
which is fair enough. Which is fair enough. We were actually talking to the band Piss about that kind of thing. They're big fans of you guys. They were wearing the Truck Weldon shirt when we spoke to them.
We're massive fans of them.
But, like, their music is also so specific, and I feel like you could say, frankly, not, like, social media friendly.
No.
When we were trying to, like, post their music, we were in back and forth conversation with them about how do we actually get this across, like, without, like, you know, in 50-second clips or whatever, without losing the essence of the song, because it's, like, to clip it out almost cheapens it in some ways.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Not a content band.
No.
I'm not even gonna lie. I think that it is nigh fruitless to try and conform yourself to those platforms. And I say fruitless, there's two ways that you can take it. The first is that it's obviously not fruitless insofar as you're literally reaching people. That's where the people are, that's where you can reach them.
That's how we found you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have an Instagram, we have a Facebook, like, we obviously exist in these platforms. But on the other end of things, I think that in a perfect world, I would just ban all of them. I would just say, get them all out of here.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of all of these awful, awful platforms, and let's find new ways or find old ways of dispersing our information that are more conducive to getting a fuller picture. So it's unfortunate that we have to do that. It's unfortunate that you have to find a way to spread these non-clippable messages in clips.
Mm-hmm.
And we're battling with that ourselves and figuring out, you know, how do we disseminate in a way that is responsible, in quotations. It's never responsible, even though, you know, in a lot of ways we're victims to these platforms and these corporations. I don't, you just have to do what you gotta do, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if your end goal is to make some form of change in the world, I don't think that some people believe the best way of going about it is, I think, is to, like, just reject everything. But I honestly believe that sometimes you do have to kind of use what you've been given to reach the people, and eventually those people will see the full picture and want to hear the full message. And then I think you make a better impact doing that sometimes. Even if I wish I could just, like, completely reject all social media, it's, like, a little bit unrealistic at this time with what I think we're all trying to do as a band and what my future plans are.
Which is only fair. Another thing that like this mentioned to me, which I feel like we're talking about a little bit more compared to what we have maybe in the last 10 years, the idea of like working class poetry coming back into like punk music and stuff like that. I feel like you guys are doing that too.
Well, I just read something interesting about this the other day, like working, they say that working class people are essentially being priced out of music. You know, I think there's a lot of people who are really afraid to acknowledge if they had any privilege coming up and stuff. I honestly think if you're able to do this, you have some kind of luck in your life to be able to even take the chance. And it's sad that that's the way that it is now. But if you have any like ability or any kind of like special privilege to be able to pursue this and you get to do it, then that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But it's something that like you should definitely acknowledge. And yeah, I don't know. I do think it is still actually like very sad that like true working class musicians a lot of the time are being like priced out of making any money. Like it's really hard to make any money doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's a very slim number of bands that ever get any return on investment,
especially not DIY bands like yourselves.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. So yeah, I don't know. I just think that's pretty sad. But I think there is a way forward right now where the bands, I will say, have like a bit more power, it seems, than they used to when dealing with labels and stuff like that. You have the power to come to the table with a little bit more bargaining power than I think a lot of bands used to be able to before like the internet and everything, where now if you have kind of a scene and a sound and a niche, you have a bit more power coming to the table with these businesses. So it's a good thing to keep in mind.
That's good.
Working away at stuff on your own, and the recognition has been coming. Like, I've been seeing, like, you know, magazines in Europe have been writing about you guys. It's kind of getting bigger from here. So, like, what's coming up next for you guys?
Well, I mean, we have an album coming out soon, so that's cool. Hopefully plan to do more touring and just, like, I think push this as far as it can possibly go, as long as we're all enjoying it and are healthy.
Yeah, I've been seeing, like, you have a few new songs in your sets in, like, the last kind of year or so as well, to go beyond the last album. So anything you can tell us about the new album?
I think musically, I feel like we've all kind of figured out a little bit how to gel together as musicians and make something a little bit more cohesive, at least musically. But when it comes to thematically, it's Carson that writes all of the lyrics and poetry, so if you want to say something about that.
Yeah, on the new album, I'll probably just let the album speak for itself when it comes out, but
It kind of feels like, you know, sometimes bands can feel like they said everything they need to say in the first album, and then where do you go from there?
If you run out of things to say, I don't know. I don't want to sound harsh, but you probably didn't have much to say. I feel like there's a lot going on in the world, and I'm not even just talking politically. Like, there's just a lot to think about, and there's a lot to discover. I don't know, I'm never running out of ideas. In fact, I'm always so annoyed because there's so much
that
I want.
Too much.
Exactly, yeah. There's so much that I want to touch on all the time. It can be hard to make something cohesive. And something that, like, I actually have time to get there, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm just never running out of ideas, I don't feel like.
It's good to know. Truck Violence are not running out of ideas anytime soon. But what can people expect when they come to see you? Because, like, it's like we said, it's not a standard funk band. You guys get the banjos out. There's a lot more going on. What are the live shows like?
I just want the live shows to... I want them to feel very, and I hope that they do, I want them to feel very secluded. And I'll say secluded from eyes or secluded from judgment, though that's, like, very unrealistic of me to expect that. But ultimately what I want is to create a space where people can throw themselves about. And a big one that I've always wanted to try and engender is a sort of breaking of or parting of the partition. I really want a place where people can talk to each other and meet new people and have conversations that they wouldn't otherwise have. And one big thing that really had a big effect on me when I first moved to Montreal from our small town was just the fact that nobody spoke to each other, and people would look past everyone on the metro and on the street and in the grocery store. I mean, where I found everybody would talk to everybody all the time. And, you know, that wasn't always the greatest thing when you're a young kid, but it does sadden me that feels like there's not a lot of spaces for people to actually do that here. And so the more that we can engender free, open, safe conversation, I think the better. And that's what I want the live shows to be like, is like a conversation between us and the people there, and the conversation between the people in the crowd amongst themselves. I don't know if anyone else has anything to add to that.
Building community at your shows, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good reason for people to come.
We're at 26 more. Mm-hmm. So pick the next three.
I'm wrapping up.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone clap for me.
It was really awesome. I hope a lot of people come to the shows, see something really interesting, maybe form new friends, go away with new ideas, start their own bands. I'm guessing that would be like a really good outcome as well.
Yeah.
Where can people kind of keep up with you guys?
Unfortunately, you're going to have to keep up with us on Instagram, probably. Mm-hmm. If I was real, there would be like dead drops, you know.
Maybe we'll get a mailing.
Yeah, mailing list would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Mailing list, you know, pigeons or something in the near future. Once we have enough capital, you know, then the sky's the limit, you know. We can have pigeons in every city.
I say we should have government-run social media. It should just be really boring. It should be like gray, uninteresting to look at.
Black and white.
Yeah, black and white.
Okay, give us three Montreal bands we should be listening to, and then we'll go out with that.
Last Waltz.
Melanilla.
On the spot is so tough. Yo, fuck! Oh, my bad.
Wait, they're coming to me.
Chris is the scene kid.
I have a few. Cadmium is great.
That's three.
Yeah, that's three, I guess. Okay. Cadmium, Melanilla, and Last Bolton, you said.
Yep. We look like the biggest Montreal haters right now. Like, blanked on it. Exactly, blanking on it. But yeah, check them all out. You know, check every single band out in Montreal.
You know what?
You can.
Just go to Montreal. There's like 10 shows happening every day, even on a Tuesday. Like, it's just go to Montreal.
Right.
Or I'll shout out Sewer Spewer on Instagram. Then you could just see all the Montreal bands that are playing and check through them. No, there's good music. Good music.
Mm-hmm. Including you guys. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us. Truck Violence Live Session with us here. I'm Lou. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
never the money. Sit down the bottle and show me something. I'm looking out through the window, I'm coming. And it was never the money. Sit down the
King Pooba,
and we're Truck Violence,
and you're listening to
CFRC Radio in Kingston.
You killed it! You killed
Let's go.
I'm taking no, that's, that's a one take.
Hello and welcome to the Release Radar Rundown in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, broadcasting from CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features hot local singles released this year right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, let's get things rolling with some great singles across genres released recently in Kingston by local artists. First up, let's have a listen to a great single by Nolan Hubbard with Sit Still called Pollen. This song is about embracing growth and confidently moving on from the things that are holding you back. Sonically, it unfolds gradually. Bouncy bass lines, lush vocal harmonies, swirling indie rock guitars, and dynamic production, which work together to bring the track into full bloom. Hubbard's distinctively stylish vocals pair with Sit Still's rhythmic prowess, create a vibrant musical collaboration. Keep up with the artist by following at Nolan H Music and at pad_ty on Instagram. Let's dive in now to enjoy Pollen by Nolan Hubbard with Sit Still right here on the Release Radar Rundown.
Keep inhaling all the pollen. I don't need you in my garden. Behaving, stop installing. Don't be hating, I'm not calling. Didn't think I'd make the cut. See me now, things looking up. Used to be so in a rush. I was stressing out, I was losing touch. Used to think I'd never see this person I turn out to be. But now I've got this energy, so keep your shade away from me. Thought that we'd grow into something beautiful, but it wasn't mine to hold. No, the water doesn't flow.
Keep inhaling all the pollen. I don't need you in my garden.
You got caught creeping through the weeds. Get the wasps on my seeds.
Misbehaving, stop installing. Don't be hating, I'm not calling.
Still my cut. When I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. Ooh.
hope you enjoyed Pollen by Nolan Hubbard with Sit Still. Coming up next, we've got a great track from the local metal band Exogen's debut EP entitled Game of Puppets, released back in January. Featuring four heavy genre-blending tracks, the EP was created by Ben Snyder, Joel Schell, Nathan Graham, and Isaac Heathcock, and produced by Terry Benn at Switzerville Sound Retreat. The band is grateful to their amazing fans and friends supporting them and say they hope to keep the metal scene growing in Kingston. If you want to help grow that scene, go see some of their shows. Follow them on Instagram at @Exogen_music to keep up with the latest news from them. For now, let's check out the track called Fleeting Moments from Exogen's debut EP, Game of Puppets, right now on the Release Radar Rundown. On the Release Radar Rundown right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You just heard Fleeting Moments by Exogen. And coming up now, we've got a sweet single by the Sugar Pills called Sugar Pill. This track, released earlier this year, gives listeners a window into a night out in Kingston with the band. It speaks to making your own fun regardless of time and place. Sugar Pill has that quintessential feel-good factor, leaving you with an optimistic glow. Here's Sugar Pill right now by the Sugar Pills. Thank you.
poster. Evan's waiting on a drink he ordered 20 minutes ago. An old guy just offered me a beer, but I know if I take it, I'll have to stay here. And all of this has got me wondering if I should have gone home when Caleb did. But now it's 2 a.m. and so I'll offer them a handful of sugar pills. I'll take one if you will.
Sugar Pill by The Sugar Pills, released earlier this year. Coming up next, we've got a single by The Garvin Brothers called Until We Meet Again, recorded at the Tragically Hip's Bathhouse Recording Studio by Juno Award-winning sound engineer Niall Spencer. The strong and haunting vocals capture the emotion behind losing someone you love in this song. The song was written during a dark time of grief, and the lyrics of this track serve as a comfort to anyone who's ever uttered the words, Until We Meet Again.
Climb every mountain. Oh, you climb so high. I can't lie. It's hard saying goodbye. When I saw you go for the last time, I blame the disease. Could not have taken a better man from me. I blame the disease. When I saw you go, you went so slow. Sometimes I think it should have been me.
Until We Meet Again by the Garvin Brothers. Coming up now on the Release Radar Rundown, we've got a great track from Almond Milk's album Simon and the Pop Curse, released earlier this year, called Don't Wait for Nothing. Almond Milk is a 19-year-old romantic and electronic pop artist, producer, singer, multi-instrumentalist, and mixing and sound design engineer. Born in Kingston and based in Montreal, they bring a unique blend of talents to their music. Their second full-length album, Simon and the Pop Curse, was entirely self-written, recorded, produced, mixed, and mastered, and the recording took place at North of Princess Studios in Kingston with support from fellow Kingston artist Luella. The album explores a hero's journey following a young artist as they leave home in search of self-discovery and love. Here's Don't Wait for Nothing by Almond Milk right now on CFRC's Release Radar Rundown.
How did I get so far somewhere else?
Yourself, you can already take flight. See me like a star that shines so bright. It's the only thing at night. As you let it guide you, trust yourself. You can already take flight. If I
are back, but almost out of time. You just heard Don't Wait for Nothing from Almond Milk's second LP, Simon and the Pop Curse. Coming up now, we've got Left-Handed Archer's single, Haunted by the Ghosts of Elephants That Died There, a song that combines rich, expressive rhythms with immersive soundscapes to elicit a sense of exploration and disorientation, like a climber delving deeper and deeper into an unexplored cave, unaware of what may be lurking inside. Are you a local musician who wants your new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. You can also reach out to CFRC through our website to book a live studio session with us and play live on our airwaves while doing a fun interview with our crew. Visit cfrc.ca for more details. For now, let's end our show today with this wonderful song, Haunted by the Ghosts of Elephants That Died There by Left-Handed Archer. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.
God wanted to know all about human suffering. He wanted the sufferer as a man. From the fields, from the sea, from rivers, from night, from the dawn. yet God to defend him, to save him from beauty. Because he says there is too much beauty in the world. It came from the fields, from the sea, from rivers.